Listen to me very carefully.
You're listening to Bereft Pill Hardcore Radio. How's it, baby?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt. I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose. I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers. I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers. Come one, come all. Because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Yes. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V. Yes. Got my co-host here with me. We got Will Turpit from Man the Truth. The Man Wonder himself. Whoa. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing good and bad, man. It's always a little bit of both. Best of times, worst of times. Thank you guys to the studio audience watching us live. Very much appreciate that applause. A lot of stuff to talk about today, tonight, wherever you guys are tuning in from, whatever the time is. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. I do want to update you tonight, too, about the Moors and what happened with Juju's case yesterday.
Yes.
And what's going on with that? So that, and we got people activating National Guard all over the place for the Jabba Jaws. We got rules for thee and not for me. We got Monsanto. We got Iraq. We got a lot of stuff. So I got a lot of stuff to cover, man. How you feeling tonight?
Could be doing better, but these are things that we must discuss. I know. We mentioned the Moors a lot, at least, I mean, you do, and I'm glad that you do. It's not an issue that we can just let die off. I would definitely like to see a good ending to this situation, because it's been over 6 months now, right? Incarceration? Without real charges?
Yeah, so it's been, let's see, it's been since the 3rd of July. And then, like I told you guys, I mean, I could kind of break it all down again, but even before the what Jamal is facing, me, Jamal, and Juju, Jamal's wife, are all part of this other case, too. And it's interesting the way they stack this case. So, here's how it went down, basically, is my case is related to Juju's case, which is related to one of Jamal's cases. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, up until this point, none of us have a criminal record, and none of us have ever called for violence. And Jamal, the head of the Rise of the Moors, is a Marine Corps veteran and served honorably, as did his father in the United States Air Force. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're not called for violence. We don't have a criminal record. So... this was February 24th of 2020, nearly 2 years ago now. And myself, Jamal, members of the Rise of the Moors, it was honestly, I got arrested that day. And the guy that took me in, who didn't arrest me, but took me in, said, you know, I feel bad every time I have to arrest anybody. Must be a bad day for you, as I'm sitting in the cage. And I said, actually, no, today's one of the best days that I've ever had. We had 30 to 35 people at a protest for Rhode Island. That's a big deal, especially when it comes to DCYF, and especially when it comes to something that, like, it was just really us and the Moors that put it on. But we had this protest at DCYF, which is our version. It's the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, which is our version of Child Protective Services here in the state of Rhode Island. And the reason I was so happy about it is because it wasn't just me. It wasn't just the Moors. There were regular, quote-unquote, African-Americans there. There were people of all backgrounds, with I think the exception of maybe somebody from Asian heritage. We had people who were affected by DCYF. People had their kids stole. We had kids from Brown University, RISD, Rhode Island College, a very, very diverse group of people there. People, children, men, women, everything. And I was really, really happy to see, because I've been working stupid hard on the DCYF situation here in Rhode Island. That's one of my main issues. And, you know, part of the reason we were protesting them in the first place is because 20 to 25 children go missing in DCYF care every single day. We don't know how many don't come back. Children in DCYF have been on mainstream news. They've been caught getting pimped out to trade sex for money and drugs. Kids have died in DCYF care, and not one person has even been reprimanded, let alone fired. So we thought, you know, it's only natural. Let's do a protest. So we do. We start off at the Garrahy Court, downtown Providence, which is, amongst other courts, the family court is there. And, you know, family court's illegal and constitutional. We protest outside of there. Then we walked about a block, two blocks over to the headquarters of DCYF. We went inside for a sec. I believe I went to do a FOIA. We protested outside. We were chanting. We were singing songs. And then we walked from there to the Rhode Island State House. Now, when we got to this Rhode Island State House, we were protesting. We went inside the State House, whatever. There's a bunch of us there. We're protesting. We're, you know, doing our thing. There's a bunch of us there. At one point, the lieutenant governor, who is now the governor, comes out, Dan McKee, and asks him on video, hey, what are you doing for the DCYF children? What can we do to make to better their situation? And he kind of laughs at me. He first doesn't respond, like kind of laughs in my face. Second time, he's like, oh, yeah, we're doing everything we can, or something like some like, go F yourself, kind of like, get out of my face, kind of like, snide.
Was
like,
this Creepy Crowley?
No. Yeah, but...
I'll have to bring him up.
I'm glad you did, because you know what? Don't even get me started on that guy. So, then, this whole time, there's an officer there wearing a suit, and I asked him several times on video... I asked all the officers who were there, the Capitol and State Police, for their name and badge numbers. And the plainclothes ones, which at the time I didn't know they were, at least one of them I didn't know was an officer. In other words, they just refused to identify themselves, just looking. And so I'm sitting there, I'm filled with righteous indignation because, like, I'm protesting for these missing kids. I go to the State House to try to get some answer from the people that are supposed to do it. They laugh me off. And then the police don't even identify themselves. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So then, I want to say he's a captain or somebody really big in the Providence Police was there, something like that. I forget. I don't even remember who it was. He goes to have a conversation in the hallway of the State House with somebody else. So I walk over, follow him. You know what I'm saying? There's no privacy in the State House, so I'm asking questions. You know, and then. And then the other officer who refused to identify himself with the suit on grabs me, slams me to the ground, and arrests me for disorderly conduct. Well, I didn't know. I had to figure this out later. And resisting arrest, which I did not do. So as this is happening, this is all right in front of Juju and Jamal. And Juju's asking him, what's going on? Why are you arresting him? You didn't do anything wrong. What's your name and badge number? And so she's questioning this officer who's dragging me away in cuffs as we exit the State House and as he takes me to one of the cruiser SUVs out there. Then according to the video that we have from both the State House as well as other people who were there that day, because mind you, I'm in the back of a car, Juju then re-enters the State House. In order to enter the State House, you have to go through one or two Capitol Police, you have to put your items through a scanner, and you yourself have to walk through a metal detector. She was there. She stayed there. A couple of officers, well, one officer on video makes a hand gesture as if he's masturbating and then throwing it at them. And it's not just Juju who's a woman there, not that it makes a difference.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then there's also a woman and kids he's doing this to. This is on effing video, right? And then so the rest of the day, kind of, that's how it ends for them. They leave the stay house. Okay. About a week and a half later, the Violent Fugitive Task Force shows up at Jamal and Juju's house. But they didn't just show up and knock on the door, and they weren't wearing their uniform. So first, somebody knocks on the door that wasn't wearing any uniform and leaves by the time they get to the door. And so they're already kind of on high alert. They're living the ghetto, you know what I'm saying? And they have all these scams. Everybody knows a scam where one person will knock on the door and distract you, and then they'll bum rush your crib. You know what I'm saying? So they live right in the hood. Somebody that's not wearing an officer's outfit goes there, knocks on their door, leaves. So they're kind of on high alert. Then a bunch of people without uniforms on come to the door. And understandably so, Jamal and Juju don't want to let them in because here are a bunch of unmarked people attempting to get in their house. And so Jamal's like, hey, who are you? What's up? Hey, we're the police. Da-da-da-da. And he's like, okay, well, show me a warrant. Don't show a warrant. Then I guess eventually they go across the street to get a warrant because I don't know why they didn't have it on them, but they went across the street and get an alleged warrant. And they put it up against the door for like 3 seconds. And Jamal's like, can I see that? Can I read that? Nope. They break down the door. Arrest Juju for assaulting an officer and arrest Jamal for obstructing that arrest of Juju. Now, I mentioned that it's the Violent Fugitive Task Force. It's interesting because, as I mentioned earlier, Jamal and Juju do not have criminal records. They've never called for violence. They've only called for the opposite. So why? And they're not fugitives. So why would the Violent Fugitive Task Force come to their house like that? Good question. I don't know the answer.
Well, it's obvious that this is some sort of retaliation. Oh, how dare these Negroes question us?
Yeah. And so it's interesting. So Juju gets arrested for assaulting an officer the day I got arrested. So then I talked to them after all this, and I'm like, what the heck? They arrested me that day for naughty words, for saying words that got them butthurt. But yet you don't arrest somebody that supposedly assaulted you that day. Not only do you not arrest them, but you let them leave the state house and come back into the state house through security. So a lot of that wasn't adding up to me. Didn't make sense. So I'm like, what is really going on here? And I have seen some evidence, and I've heard voicemails left on members of the Rise of the Moors voice machines there from the FBI. And they're under FBI surveillance. Jamal believes, and I have every reason to believe alongside with them, that this is some type of COINTELPRO 2.0 going against
right.
the Rise of the Moors. Right? Exactly.
Right.
So that was a thing. So me and Juju shared the same police report. I think I actually have a copy of both my police reports somewhere here around me, and I can read those afterwards. It's quite laughable. Literally in these police reports, the one from Boston where recently with just me and this one, they mentioned like Will Turbitt in conjunction with the First Amendment, that's such a bad thing. And then in the Boston report, they mentioned me asking about the Constitution, like it's a bad, and like this is completely bizarre world. So then they arrest Juju and Jamal. So then me and Jamal were having court dates together because he was arrested for like obstructing or something like that, her arrest. So we're going through it. I mean, it's coronavirus, and you know, they're not keeping our right to a fair and speedy trial going. They're jerking us around. So finally we all get these court dates. Before Jamal gets to go down all of this, Jamal is arrested on the 3rd of July. Everybody should know about that one. Traveling with the Rise of the Moors, Juju was not there. Juju was, I don't know if she was either, yeah, I think they had the baby girl already by then. So she was at home taking care of the baby girl. Jamal and his buddies, they were going up to Maine. They get pulled over. Well, they weren't even pulled over. They were already on the side of the road. Massachusetts State Police come. They shut down the highway, held them hostage for like 9 hours. I've heard reports it was 18 hours, but the mainstream news also says 9 hours. And then they take Jamal and Rise of the Moors.
Well, that's illegal right there by itself. Any traffic stop, any kind of detention like that, shouldn't last more than 15 minutes.
Yep, and well, the reason what took so long is because Jamal was on video. He live streamed it. He said, "Hey, look, I just told him this. I just told him that." And I've seen some of the body cam footage too. I've seen Jamal's live stream, and Jamal's basically saying, "Hey, we didn't do anything wrong. We're not doing anything illegal." And then he was talking about the Constitution, talking about other laws, case law, Supreme Court decisions, my assessment of the situation is they couldn't do anything. So they had to come up with 9 hours to concoct a reason, because God forbid these black people have guns, you know what I'm saying, and legally, you know, doing their thing. And so then they take Jamal and his buddies to jail, and they said, "Hey, you know, we haven't established probable cause, which is a must. Something happened that I've never heard of before. It's called dangerousness." So because this judge believed that these guys were dangerous, even though, like I said, Jamal has no criminal record, has never called for violence, and is a Marine Corps vet, they were able to hold them for 180 days from the 3rd of July to, I believe it was November 3rd. At that point, just on the fact that some judge thought they were dangerous, because God knows why. I don't know why they thought they were dangerous, because black people
own guns. It's not up to the judge to get probable cause. It's up to the police officers to assess probable cause.
Exactly. They shouldn't even be there if there is no probable cause. So they spend 180 days in jail the entire summer and fall in jail for no reason whatsoever. And then at the end of the 180 days, these idiots don't have anything. And by the idiots, I'm talking about the state. So they're like, they put a new judge in and they say, "You know what? I think you N-words are dangerous too. Here's another 180 days, even though we don't have anything against you."
Oh, so, you know what? I will do anything in my power to help. They got to sue these people. They got to sue the court.
Well, Jamal has tried that, and I'll give you an update on that later. I'm not exactly.
Oh, he can't. Don't tell me he talked about suing him before he was released.
Oh yeah.
That's why they're keeping him.
Well, no, he was already there for a couple weeks or a month before that came out. But that's not.
I understand that, but the thing is that whenever you are in custody and you talk about suing, they will do their best to keep you in custody for as long as soon as possible. Even if they have to create something, wait for a new law to pass, you know, they'll do something to make sure that you are criminalized. I've seen that. I've seen people held for almost nothing for 2 years. They're waiting for a law to pass. Okay, now we can charge him for this.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they will literally go to the lawmakers and say, "Hey, make a law, criminalize them." I know you don't even do that in the hospital. I have talked to people who, you know, they're seeing their doctors. "Oh, this is malpractice. I'm gonna sue you." And then next thing you know, security guards show up to take you to the psych ward upstairs to be there indefinitely. People never ever tell these people that you're going to sue them. Sue them when you get out. I'm not saying don't sue them. Sue them when you get out. Don't ever say that you're going to sue while in custody, because you might not ever see the light of day.
Oh, hey guys, yeah, this is real Mike, fake news. I know a guy in jail for, it's been 3 years almost now. Actually, I think he just had his third
year.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was threatening to sue Travis County EMS and Austin Police Department because they kind of, and the fire department kind of screwed up. Everybody kind of screwed up, and his dad died. And so they came and got him 2 weeks later. First they charged him with meth they claimed they found in his dead dad's car, which they confiscated. You know, this is 2 weeks later, they say they found it. And then they charged him with the murder of his father. They said he beat up his father and said there's blood splattered all over the car. Even though no one said anything about that while they're there rescuing his father, who's obviously having some kind of a cardiac episode of some kind. But, yeah, you definitely don't want to start running around saying you're going to sue people unless you're already suing them, I would think.
Yeah, the paperwork's got to be in already, because if they touch you after that, it's retaliation. Yeah,
and he's been saying, it's obvious that he's been talking about this with everybody from jail, his court-appointed attorneys, attorneys coming in to help him, and now he's on the psych drugs and all that great stuff. Some kind of really bad psych drug, too. It's the antipsychotic med that it's really bad. It's not even, it shouldn't even be allowed. It's got
Seroquel.
So many, I don't know if it's Seroquel. It's something that starts with like an X or like a Z.
Oh, he's on one of those XYZ drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff experimental. And
This one's already had all its like reports. I've seen the reports. It's the,
really?
It's bad. It's let me see if I can just dig it up. I'll butt in later if I see the one.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So just keeping with the story here. So just now Jamal's locked up, right? And I got one more tidbit that I'll save for the end of the story here about Jamal. So in the meantime, Juju has spent the last however many months raising their newborn daughter alone because Jamal's been locked up. So she's had it pretty difficult, obviously, to say the least. So we've been going to court back and forth, all of us, separate dates and stuff now. So Juju's trial was finally this week. It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. And I was not there Monday or Wednesday because I had to work. But Juju asked me to be a witness in her case. I said I would, obviously. And mind you, so they said that they accusing her of, on the way out, basically shoving two officers on the way out. Now, this is the crazy, this is where I'm a little bit upset, right? Because this is where I'm really upset. I can't say a little bit upset. Well, let me take it one step at a time. So Juju's first day, she goes through the selection process, the jury selection. Apparently, they could only ask three questions. Have you been on jury? This is crazy, Doc. You guys are gonna break this down with me.
I'm glad they're doing a jury trial. That's number one.
Yeah, because everybody knows them. It's a yes or no with the judge, and the judges, they don't like us, right? You know, they.
Especially the judge is automatically already on the side of the police. At this point, we can see that. Yeah.
Regardless, yeah. So she goes in, and they're allowed to ask, have you ever been on a jury before? And the first answer to that, most people said they actually had been on a jury before. And even the judge, supposedly, according to Juju and the other dude that was there, said, yeah, they were taken aback by the fact that so many of these people that were currently here for jury duty had already been on jury duty, which made me kind of suspicious in the first place. And I think the other question was something about, do you have any ties to law enforcement or whatever? And so, according to what happened, they could only dismiss four jurors. And they said a lot of the people had already done jury duty. Now it's starting to make sense to me.
They already know how they're going to come to their decision.
Yes.
Probably already some racist people or some anti-radicalist people, or these people know how to do a speedy trial because they want to get out of it. there's some angle, for sure.
Oh, wait. So wait till you hear this. So, mind you, I live in Providence, Rhode Island. That's where I'm from. And Providence, Rhode Island is a city. It's a very diverse city. When I went to high school in Providence, Rhode Island, I was one of four white people that graduated in my senior class. So I should tell you that it's not just a corner. This is not, you know, we're not talking about Maine here. We're not talking about a high school in Montana. This is a little city right here. So of all this diversity in a jury of peers, what does Juju get? Juju gets all white people who have already served on a jury before. Apparently, she can only dismiss up to four jurors. So it's all white people, and a lot of them apparently have ties to law enforcement. No, that doesn't sound like a jury of your peers to me. So I walk in on Tuesday, and they'd already started at that point, and I'm already, like, not in a good mood because I have to go to court. I have to deal with this. You know what I'm saying? I'm pissed off. Jamal's in jail. All the Moors are in jail. Now Juju may have to go to jail. And Lee, and then what? Now that they protested DCYF, they're going to put them both in jail for doing absolutely nothing, and then take their kid and bring them to DCYF? Yeah, this is making me really, really mad. By the way, Juju, it's all on video from the State House and other video that was there that day. There's no video of her shoving this guy because she didn't do it. And I was right there being let out when the supposed incident happened. It didn't happen. So I walk in, all white jury, and the freaking district attorney's there, and then we got up on the stand behind the freaking stupid plexiglass coronavirus barrier is the cop who arrested me, who refused to identify himself, who was wearing a suit that day. He actually said to me on video, "I don't have to tell you if I'm a cop or not." Said the shit. Sorry, said that stuff in video. Sorry, I'm upset. Are we going to take this break here?
You know what? Let's take this break here. Wow.
Dude, yeah. This is really ripping my heart out, because to see what they're doing, I mean, honestly, Juju and Jamal are some of the nicest people I've ever met. I've hung out with Jamal a bunch. He's taught me so much. We've done a bunch of videos together. I mean, I consider him one of my good friends. But I also admire him. I admire him so much. They took down his YouTube channel. I do have somewhere, someone has it for me, the footage of him live streaming on the highway while he's being held captive that day. I mean, this guy is a mother effing hero. I mean, like, he was already somebody that I admired before because he's so disciplined. He's so smart. He's one of the few activists that actually talks the talk. I mean, he goes out in the community all the time to teach people with books. They routinely have...
So he does have a record. Not the kind of record police like.
Oh, he's basically the new Black Panther, just like you, V. He goes out to the community all the time with tables and bags full of stuff to give to people. We're not just talking about clothes. We're talking about food. We're talking about everything. And it's crazy. I mean, this guy is like a modern-day legend. And then he's on... You should have seen how calm and collected he was while he's being faced. They shut down the highway. I think it was 95 or 93, some of the biggest highways in the world. They just completely, please shut it down. He's over there, calm, cool, collective. You got to see this video.
That's what's called street theater by police. You got to, you know, it's like they're trying to win an Oscar for all the acting.
Oh, my God, you summed it up.
Make it a much bigger deal than it is.
There's a Wikipedia page now. It's called the New York Times. Everyone covered it. There's a Wikipedia page called The Wakefield Standoff. The Wakefield Standoff. Oh,
really?
You're so on point, B. You're so effing on point. That's exactly what it is.
All right, we got to take a quick break here, guys. Yeah, stay tuned. Stay tuned. That's all I can say. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719 extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Your man Black on the rise. Address the lies of those who plan my demise. Through the white man's eyes, I came through with guys. The same guys who gave the whole hood pies. This was back in 95, how the blade dudes lie. Talking about how I changed my stride when I was locked inside. Brothers identified. Understand they only getting three tries. Then the heat gon' fly. Now it's me, you and I. Top of the world, but it's still do or die. Can't wait for you to fry at the screen. Bye-bye. I know the five personified. Who am I? The occasional fly. Mr. 4th of July.
All right. We're back. We are back. Yes, I want to... say, yeah, guys, this is the street theater, police street theater. What'd you say they called it, Will? What? A standoff?
They call it a standoff. There's a Wikipedia, So, I'll let you get to your point, but I want to set you up here. What you said before the break is like what you're going to right now, guys, is so important. I've been thinking about this incessantly over the last several months. And V just said something right now that is like mind blown because he's exactly right. It's like he hit me in the solar plexus with truth. They call it an armed standoff. But the thing is, only the Massachusetts State Police had their guns out pointed at them. They had their vehicles and the weapons. They did have something out. They had the Moorish flag out, and they were talking, "We are peaceful. Hey, You mean you no harm. We're doing nothing illegal. I've already spoken to your sergeant so-and-so and informed him that this is that under the peaceful journey law, under the U.S. Constitution. Da-da-da-da. I mean, it's like watching a documentary in real stream. Yeah, so B, get to your point. This is incredible what you just said, how they make it this. Please go ahead. Sorry.
Well, what have we been talking about? It's sort of like that case with Slim, okay? If the police over-exaggerate, if they, you know, Slim wanting to go to the hospital, calls an ambulance, but police show up instead with ARs, four ARs pointed at him before he can get to the ambulance, you know, how's that not a situation? How is that? Because anybody walking by is going to automatically be on the side of the police, whether you know it or not, because it's psychological. Oh, what did that guy do? Oh, how dangerous is he? Or, you know, you don't think of, oh, those police are bullying an unarmed citizen. So you got the psychological F job going on in your head, and that ranges from the people walking by to the media helicopters flying over. They want to paint the picture of you, and they will if you let them. That's something that was told to me years ago. I had this fed on Facebook threatening to kill me, showing me his gun collection, everything. You know, he was stupid. He gave me his phone number. I was calling him a lot. Yo, I'm in court right now. What do you want? I want to mess with you, homeboy. That's what I want. I want to entice you. I want to set you off, homeboy. You say you're not a far drive away from me. Come on. I'm ready to die. So, you know, I got a message, you know, from after that. You know, I can paint a picture anyway of you that I want. How? I got the canvas. I got the easel. I got the paint and the brush. How are you going to paint anything? No. This is not too long after I started my radio show. You know, I got the knowledge. I got the platform. I got the attention of the people. Well, what are you going to do? So, I understand the whole point of making somebody look a certain way and how the public is going to perceive it. So that in itself should be, you know, the whole system should be put on damn trial. Something like that? Absolutely. The whole system should be put on goddamn trial. Because, you know, if you control the perception of people, then you control the reality. Exactly. And as an American citizen, as American citizens, as veterans, as activists, you know, having the government that kind of power, it's that in itself is unconstitutional. It's a weapon. And mind control. You know, that's an NSA underground cult, you know, sorority stuff. Shemale sorority. 13-year-old junior high school girl mind control stuff. You know, walking by, lifting up your skirt. Oh, don't touch me! Kind of stuff. You know? got you standing there looking crazy, and people want to tackle you. Get your hand out of my pocket. Get your hand out of my pocket. Y'all know that one, right?
I do.
And it's sickening. It's sickening. But yeah, go ahead. Don't get me ranting. Good Lord. Go ahead.
What you said was so important, V. I love when you do that because it's true. That's like, they were like, now it makes even more sense. I mean, I understood why they had to stand up partially. They called it a stand up partially because, all right, we're screwed. We don't know what we're to do here because we think we're used to just pulling over people and they don't know anything. And then they bend to our whim. But we just pulled over somebody. It's like pulling over Malcolm X. It's like you're pulling over somebody that is way more educated than everybody on your force. And you're like, oh, damn, we just got owned by this guy who's way smarter than us. And then they're like, all right, we tried sprinkling crack. What else do we do now, boss? How do we get this guy? He's completely legit. You know what I'm saying? What the hell? So they had to take time to figure out what they were going to do. Well, I don't know. Okay, no criminal record. Okay, he's never called for violence. Okay, served honorably in the U.S. Marine Corps. All right. I know. We'll call him dangerous. What about probable cause, boss? F probable cause. But then there's the psychological aspect that B's always very keen on. I mean, that's what it is. That they all, not just they couldn't find anything, but they had to make it like, all right, perception is everything. So we're gonna frame it that these black terrorists, and we're gonna talk to people to how to and our friends at the media to concoct this story. So as soon as we get the arrest, everyone's gonna know they're black extremists. They're black terrorists. There's nothing scarier than black guys with guns. So. Mind you, this is all 4th of July weekend when people are supposed to be going hunting and fishing and camping and having a fire, which that's exactly what they're going to do. So that happens. Jamal's locked up in a cage, still locked up in a cage. Free Jamal, free Rise the Morse. So I walk into court Tuesday for Juju, who supposedly assaulted an officer, but there's no video of that. State House didn't show any video of that. To my knowledge, I wasn't there for all the case. I'm still in touch with Juju. We're going to have her on hopefully very soon and get an update, but it's difficult, especially at this late time because we're going to have to pre-record. She's got the daughter there. So I walk in, and the officer that arrested me refused to identify himself and told me he didn't have to identify himself and then slammed me on the ground because he's been waiting for that. He hates free speech so much he couldn't wait to tie me up for my freedom of speech. So he's there, and he's talking about me. And he's saying, everyone's saying, William Turbitt, because the reason that Juju's in court is because I got arrested, and then she was asking questions afterwards, and then they say she assaulted an officer, which obviously, like I said, didn't happen. You guys can go find me. We played the videos, too. Me and Jamal, Juju, we sat there and played these videos. I'm going to have to re-release that video soon, because... You know, channels get deleted too, and
it looks like we're gonna make a documentary out of this.
We have to, especially. And everybody, while I'm talking about this, find Rise of the Moabites on Instagram. Rise of the Moabites, Moabites. Rise of the Moabites. They took down Jamal's YouTube. They took down Jamal's Instagram like immediately when this was going on, like within hours of the
within
entire
hours. Thing.
Within
hours. So that means law enforcement got in touch with them. You said it was Twitter or
so
Instagram, Facebook. They had to reach. Okay, think about that. There are pedophiles. There are people who get flagged for, you know, nip slips, you know, pedophile language, you know, just whatever. And it takes days, weeks, and it usually takes a campaign of people behind.
D, I'll do you even one better. There are convicted murderers right now with their own YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
Which you did the time. Okay, you're out. You should not be able to have a YouTube channel. But you make such a good point. They can't take down the pedophiles within hours. And okay, so that gets, I'll skip to this part real quick too, right? Okay, so one of the things they mentioned, since we're on the topic of social media, is, so Juju questions him. Juju's acting as her own lawyer, because obviously they're not trusting anybody from the state, and that's a whole other story that we can get into, if we even have time tonight. But so Juju's asking him a logical question. So, and this is one of many questions. So why, if you arrested Will Turbitt for speaking immediately, why didn't you arrest me for assaulting you? Furthermore, why was I allowed to re-enter the state house and remain there going through security? Why did you wait to a week and a half later? And the excuse was, what they came up with over all these months. This is V. I wish V. I need you in the United States, mother. Oh,
you're killing me with the suspense, man.
Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought right there. All right.
What was the excuse? I'm dying to know.
The excuse was the officer said this was the craziest protest he'd ever been to. He said multiple times it was definitely not peaceful. And oh my God.
So why didn't he bring the peace as an officer? Why didn't he bring the peace?
And he said, oh, well, we figured we'd arrest her later. We didn't want to inflame things. So why didn't you think arresting me inflamed things? Right? Like, that was basically the craziest part of it, right? And they said, well, how did you know who she was? And they were like, well, we went through social media and we figured out who she was and we secured a warrant. Da, da, da. So there's
went
that.
Went through social media and all the black people in Rhode Island, they narrowed it down to her.
Yeah,
no,
they
just don't want to admit that they targeted her.
Yeah, they know who these people are. They're under FBI COINTEL surveillance.
COINTELPRO.
And so that's how we knew it. And then so this officer said this is the craziest protest he'd ever seen, ever. And the reason why he said is because people were knocking on the doors of the public servants. Whoa, that's crazy. Imagine knocking on the doors of the people that work for you. Imagine walking in on your employees. We couldn't even do that because the doors were locked. And somebody, we have like an old bell there. I don't even know the bell. Like, I should know this to tell you this. I think it might be an old replica of like the Liberty Bell. It's not even the Liberty Bell, though. It's some bell, you know, some historic bell in the state house. And somebody rang it, and it said, please don't ring. And so he said that was the craziest protest he's ever went to. And that was about 30, 35 people, which is very large for a lot of – it's pretty good for a Rhode Island protest. You do get hundreds of – not thousands turning out sometimes for abortion, gun rights, back pre-coronavirus. So he said that was the most crazy, violent thing. He said multiple times it was not peaceful. But I guess the most unpeaceful thing was somebody, which was not Juju, rang that bell. He even asked him under oath, well, did you see me ring a bell? Did I ring a bell? No. So somebody rang a bell and we knocked on doors. So that became violent, apparently. That was not peaceful. And so Juju asked him, oh, weren't you present at the Black Lives Matter protest this summer where thousands of people, they were setting cars on fire and destroyed several local businesses?
Will, I know you're cute, but you're not that cute to be remembered.
What?
I said, Will, I know you're cute, but you're not that cute to be remembered. Not like that.
What do you mean?
He identified you. The man has a hard on for you. That's what I'm telling
you.
He's got a big deal for little Will here.
Yes. So, dude, it's crazy here. Matter of fact, there was Providence Journal was like our version of the New York Times. It's the big one over here. Providence Journal did an article about this Providence. They did a whole article, and I'm like the name that you can't say. I've made the news several times, actually dozens of times for Joe Biden that went the times I confronted Joe Biden that went, you know, all across international press too. Fox News was covering that all day. But here in Rhode Island, you can't. They will not say my name. I got one article where when I went to go.
You like Beetlejuice, man?
And you know, you can
Candyman.
You can't even say it once, let alone three times. God, they hate me so much. But guess what? I got more views and subscribers than them, bitch. In your face. And I did it by myself. I didn't sell my ass. I didn't wear no makeup. Read off a teleprompter for some corporate losers. Covered up for Jeffrey Epstein. Lied about weapons of mass destruction. All that. No, they got this article saying, oh, Providence police. They make him out like a hero. You got to hear this, B. I'm gonna find this article during the next break so you can read it. But they basically say this Providence police officer is a hero because when Kamala Harris came to Providence recently, and I tried to confront her for the second time, he worked with Secret Service to help secure Kamala Harris. And do you want to know how he did that, B?
How?
He played a video of me owning the mother living poop out of Kamala Harris.
He's like, what? Oh, if you hire me, that'll never happen.
No, he basically he's doing detail for Kamala Harris when Kamala Harris showed up to Providence recently, and the Providence Journal did an article about how he helped the Secret Service. How did he help the Secret Service when he was there? He recognized me, and he played on YouTube my video of me owning Kamala Harris. And then he showed it to the Secret Service. So that, which I didn't realize that day, actually caused them to put the security perimeter even farther, and they crossed off public land. I'll get to that in a sec, which that's a whole nother side though. But that's how he helped the Secret Service. They called me a First Amendment auditor, but they didn't, by the way, asking Kamala questions that the mainstream would never ask her, doing their job for them. Thank you very much. The way he helped the Secret protect Kamala Harris and the Secret Service was show the Secret Service a video of me, somebody who has never called for violence, who has no criminal record, a video of somebody exercising their First Amendment. So their response is, hey, let's get this person that believes in free speech, let's get them further away. They have a whole goddamn article celebrating this.
Oh, training day. Oh. You know what? Listen. So you are on that little sweet spot. They got a little hard on for you. They want to deal with you in such a way, right? They want to deal with you in such a way. They want to make practice out of you. But the thing is, when you target it like that, the people around you, who are also special interest, become targets as well. And so, with that said, you know, because you have to become an individual. It's a targeted individual. So, they'll COINTELPRO each and every one of you. You can't support each other. You can't, you know, I'm surprised to actually let it get to a point to where you go to a courtroom and get to testify. I'm pretty sure at some point they will deny you testifying for any of the Rise of the Moors. I'm pretty sure they'll come up with a reason. Or they'll complicate the situation in some way or another. This is a case study, but you know what? I say it's a wonderful opportunity because they think they're the biggest fish in the ocean, and their evil eye is dominant. Problem with that is I'm a part of a legion, and the public eye is much bigger. I'm going to make sure, we are going to make sure, that this methodology, because you know you have criminologists, these people that go to the college to study criminal psychology. Yeah. A lot of them will tell you the parallels between the police and the criminals. We need to have the same mindset. We need to be studying the methodology of their criminology, their MK Ultra trauma-based mind control, their little politics with guns. Politicians with guns, they're basically the little penis versions of administrating politicians. Okay?
Correct.
All right, so we need to study this stuff, people, and we need to not let them get away with it. Okay? COINTELPRO 2.0, it's under surveillance. It's under counter surveillance right now. Okay, feds? Okay, NSA, FBI, CIA, you're under counter surveillance. Yes, you got a psychological warfare expert up your ass as we speak. It's a stinky situation. Dreadful. But I'm going to do what I must. Now, we are going to go to commercial break. I know we got callers. Guys, be calling in, okay? Call in. Drop that number for us, Will.
That number is 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. That number one more time, 512-248-8252. Make sure you find us on republicbroadcasting.org. You can find all of our past casts there. That's republicbroadcasting.org. And also give a donation while you're over there to help keep us on the radio, help keep this censorship free. You can also find our group, the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, on TLBTalk.com. That is TLBTalk.com, TLBTalk.com. Brand new social media network. I'm on it. V's on it. Censorship free. If you haven't signed up, you're a loser and everyone hates you. It's free on Apple, free on Android. There's a lot of dope stuff there. All of our information. People always saying, hey, I got a question for you. Or I got a question for V. I got a question for V. Well, sign up at TLBTalk.com. It's absolutely free. Send us a message. That's the best place to reach us. And while you're over there, you know, you got 10 bucks. Give 5 and 5. Republic Broadcast and TLB Talk help keep us on the air. Help keep freedom of speech free.
There you have it.
Freedom free.
Yes. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned. By the United States government to quell the domestic terrorist threat. All residents of urban neighborhoods and cities are being ordered to stay in their homes until the threats are eliminated. If you disobey orders, you could be shot on sight by rogue agents, federal forces, and domestic terrorist militias. This is your emergency broadcast system. This is a national alert. Imminent threat is nationwide. You must stay in sight of your homes or risk being shot on sight. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance. This is your emergency broadcast system. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance.
Hey gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoCertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.